Hey there, Nina Porzuki here, and this is The World in Words, a podcast about languages and the people who speak them. Today, we're going to talk about pronouns. So I use the pronouns she, her. And to be honest, I never really thought much about my pronouns until I met Paulus Van Horn. Paulus is our summer intern here at The World and The World in Words. Before Paulus started working at The World, bios of all the interns were sent to everyone in the newsroom.
Paulus Van Horn is a rising fifth-year student at Oberlin College and Conservatory, pursuing degrees in environmental studies and technology in music and related arts. They have active interests in radical environmentalism and music composition, which they combine through the production of their Organized Noise podcast series.
Good series. You should listen to it. We'll link to it on PRI.org.
They're very interested in the concepts of noise and anything you might consider sound studies, parentheses. Paulus uses they-them pronouns and would really prefer not to be referred to as man, dude, boy, but mistakes are inevitable and not the end of the world.
End parentheses. Paulus! I realize now, and I must apologize, I think the very first day that you worked here, I called you dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's sort of like people just need to try.
How long have you been using pronouns they, them?
About, I would say, like 7 months at most.
So it's more of a recent coming out with your pronouns.
Yeah.
Would that be a term?
Coming out, I think, as non-binary, as gender non-conforming. I mean, there's this cliche in coming out stories that I've known since I was little, but I'm not really sure if that applies to me. I mean, I guess when I was little, growing up, I think there were things that were a little different about me, but that maybe only makes sense in hindsight.
So when you say, like, there's a cliche of coming out stories, meaning the story that people tell, like, I always felt different from the time I was very small. Like, I knew I wasn't feeling this way or that way.
I mean, like, how can you be in middle school and not feel different?
That's true.
And, yeah, by the time you get to college, you can be the person that you want to be, that you haven't really been able to be, like, because of family, because of friends, everyone that you've known since you were little.
So at college, this was a moment where you reflected on who am I and what are my pronouns and what does it mean to say he in reference to me or she or they.
It was really when someone finally asked, so what are your pronouns? And I realized that I didn't really know. Like, I didn't want to say he, him, because it didn't really work for me.
Take me to that moment. Where were you? What happened?
So I'm starting to date this new person, Lou, my partner now. And they use they, them, theirs, just like me now. But when we first start going out, probably 2 weeks into us actually dating, they ask me, I don't think I've ever asked, what are your pronouns? And that's the moment that I really had to think about it. Because up until senior year, no one had asked me. And so I didn't really feel like I had that space to think about it, because we don't normally think about gender outside of maybe man and woman, like the binary.
Did you ask Lou their pronouns?
They had told me their pronouns when they met me, but not asked.
So, like, the very first time you met Lou, like,
yeah.
They said,
I'm Lou, and I use they, them, theirs pronouns. And it just pretty much went from there. Eventually, I started asking people at Oberlin to use they, them for me, and I changed my pronouns on Twitter and Facebook. It started getting warm outside, and dresses just seemed like the better option to shorts. And then I came here to The World. So this is the first workplace that I've actually been out as non-binary outside of college, using gender-neutral pronouns.
Was that a hard decision? I know you had to have an interview with The World to become an intern.
Yeah, so they called me up on Skype for the interview, and we had the interview. It went well. We ended the call, and I realized in one moment they're going to be talking about me.
So you didn't say I use the pronouns they, them, their.
No, I always feel awkward about it still, even though I really want people to use those right pronouns. It feels somehow like I'm asking a lot of someone. But no, I didn't say anything. But as soon as I clicked, you know, end call, I thought, they're going to be talking about me, and they're going to use he, him. And I really don't want that. I want to be referred to as they, them. So I typed out a really quick message like, hey, just so you know, I use they, them. Please refer to me as such when you're, you know, talking about me. And I think they had already logged off. They probably weren't even looking at the computer. But I realized at that moment that I needed to be out at this workplace because that's what I needed for myself. You know, I didn't get any response from that. But then later on, they asked me to write a bio. And I knew I had to put that in there because I knew this time everyone would read it. I made a promise to myself that, I guess more for other people than myself, the first week I would only wear dresses. Like that was the way that I was gonna signal or just try to subtly remind people like, hey, maybe Paulus doesn't go by man or he or whatever. Like I was gonna wear skirts and I like skirts, but I don't necessarily wear them every day. And yet still, I get a lot of, hey man, or thanks man, or, and I'm in this new place, I'm an intern, so I'm kind of the little baby of the radio family here, and I don't want to be like, hey, like, could you not, I don't know, I'm still bad about it.
It's not exactly an easy thing, because you're in the middle of a conversation, people are just sort of lobbing, like, you know, they're just talking, and then all of a sudden, it takes you to be like, hey,
stop the conversation.
Exactly. Remember, I asked this. Can you please try and do that? And I don't think that it's malicious. I don't think people maliciously don't do it. I think it's very hardwired. Gender is so hardwired in our speech. So all of this is happening first week. You're getting, hey, man. I call you dude. Maybe probably five times. Sorry. and then, you know, the news happens.
This is BBC News. I'm Martine Croxall. The headlines.
Look at that, just shooting back and forth.
The worst mass shooting in US history. At least 50 people are dead after a gunman opened fire in a gay nightclub in Orlando in Florida.
The second week I'm here, the mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando happens.
It was a really intense week.
It was Latin night at Pulse. And when the shooting happened, the world tried pretty inconsistently to be inclusive of all genders by using the term Latinx instead of Latino or Latina. It's this gender-neutral way of referring to Hispanic people.
Right.
And actually, one of the first stories that I produced here was about the term Latinx. So I chased down this interview with Jack Guemi, an Afro-Latinx writer in Gainesville, Florida. But of course, we're in Boston. So we had to call up this radio station in Gainesville for a remote interview with Jack. We had some technical difficulties. I heard something coming through for a second. Oh, actually, now, can you hear me, Jack?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Sorry for all the technical difficulties. How are you doing? But we finally made the connection, and we're talking to the engineer at the station on the other end. The engineer's setting up and is telling us that the guest is coming soon. And he keeps referring to Jack as she.
I'm using a talkback. I'm not actually on an actual mic.
Okay.
Check her now.
Okay, Jack, can you speak?
Yes, I am here. I am queer. Get used to it.
I have this moment because the whole reason we're interviewing Jack is because Jack uses Latinx and they pronouns to describe themselves. So, like, I don't know if I should correct the engineer because I'd already emailed them and told them Jack's pronouns. And we're about to do this 20-minute interview about their pronouns and about their identity.
And we're going to talk about the word Latinx. Am I pronouncing that right? Because I've been saying Latinx for the last month since I've... Latinx. I know. I'm trying.
Oh, it's okay. I believe in you. No, but that sounds cute, Latinx.
Oh, man, somebody believes in me.
There are two different ways to pronounce it, actually. Most people will say Latinx. And then I've also heard Latinx, like pronouncing the X like an S.
Okay, gotcha.
So whatever works for you. I say Latinx.
Okay, I'm going to say Latinx, too, if that's what you're going to do.
Latinx.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right, let's do this. In 3, 2, 1. If you've been with us this week, you may have heard me say the word Latinx.
So I think maybe we'll just give it those 20 minutes and they'll figure it out again.
Right. I remember because I was in the studio then because I was shadowing you. And I remember that awkward kind of tension around that. We didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I think Jack was pretty amused by it all, actually.
Yeah. I think Jack was a real champ on this one. The interview went great.
Is Latinx the end of the fight for inclusive language, or do you think it's just the beginning?
Oh, just the beginning. Absolutely just the beginning, because that's just one word. You know, there was a joke made at my day job the other day about how I should be a teacher. And there's somebody I work with who also speaks Spanish and was like referring to me. Since I'm very femme and feminine presenting, I often get feminine pronouns thrown at me or feminine titles thrown at me. So she said, oh, maestra. Maestra is teacher in Spanish, but female teacher. And I said, no, maestrex. So I think
adaptation.
When we can apply. Yeah, absolutely. Because we adapt to survive in this kind of environment. You know, we also adapt our language. It's vital to just expressing who we are and being able to explain to others in our own community, hey, we're here. This is how you can be respectful of us. Acknowledge us.
Jack Kouemi is.
And afterwards, the engineer comes back on the line. And suddenly, he's using the right pronouns for Jack. It was great.
It was really amazing.
Give me a couple of minutes. I need to drive Jack back to their car, and then I'll be back.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Sometimes you just need to talk about it for 20 minutes, and then they'll figure it out. But sometimes, you know, you don't have 20 minutes to explain your gender identity and pronouns, and you just want to go about your day. So I got Jack to chat after the interview, and I asked them how they have had to handle being misgendered in the past.
I was introduced to a teacher. He was teaching as well as finishing a degree, and he was an English major. I was introduced. I said, hi, my name is Jack. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. What are yours? His first reaction was, hi, my name is whatever it was. You know that's actually grammatically incorrect, but I'm just going to let it go because, you know, we're meeting. And I'm looking at him, just feeling some type of way because he was white, too. So I'm just like, you're a white man who's talking to me like this. Who do you think you are? Of course, I have some prepared responses in my mind. But this, I think, was the first time I had this prepared response and delivered it with some anger, with some irritation. And I said, oh, well, I guess I should point out, since you're an English major and you teach English, that you should know that singular they, them, theirs is actually something we've been using for hundreds of years. Shakespeare used it. And I'm pretty sure my gender identity is far more important than your really prissy grammatical preferences. And that guy did not talk to me for the rest of the night.
So there's two things here. First, like, I'm in awe of Jack because I'm really bad at correcting people who use the wrong pronouns. I'm going to get to that a little bit later, but the thing that really gets me about Jack's story is that this guy was an actual English major. Most of the time with pronouns, it seems like every straight person is suddenly an English major, and it's exhausting. Anyway, after interviewing Jack, I thought I should find a real language expert, a linguist who actually knows something. I wanted to find out if Jack was actually right about the long history of gender-neutral pronouns. So I Skyped Dennis Barron, a linguist at University of Illinois, to give me a little bit more of that history.
They, them, their, sometimes referred to as singular they, goes back at least to the 14th century. But in older forms of English before the 14th century, what we call Old English, All the third person pronouns, both singular and plural, began with what we would spell as the letter H. So he, him, her were basically all there was. The TH pronouns were borrowed by Old English from Scandinavian. Not too long after that, the TH pronouns began to be used for the singular as well. And that's because there are lots of instances where you don't know the gender of the person who is being talked about, or that gender is irrelevant for whatever reason. And so it was sort of a natural thing for speakers of English to do, to look for a neutral pronoun. And they, them, there was just sitting there ready to fill the bill.
So what has opposition to this, these sorts of changes to the language looked like?
When you come across somebody who objects to a new feature of language, that's probably a sign that it's already so well established that the objection is fruitless. Whoever objects to a particular usage, like a gender-neutral pronoun, if you listen to them or read their work long enough, you'll find that they basically do what they're complaining about. They use singular they when they're not really paying attention to it.
Yeah, Dennis could go on for a while about the history of pronouns. He's even made a list of gender-neutral pronouns starting in the 1600s. Two on the list that I personally love are tha and thar, because it makes me feel like a pirate. But I did notice that some of these artificial words come along with some pretty practical attempts to justify them. For instance, the word hisser is a combination of his and her and the pronoun thon, which was coined in 1884 by C.C. Converse, was created by cutting they in half and slapping O-N on the end. But these all sort of fizzled out, and through all of this 400-year history, they waited patiently, being revived every now and then to be measured up against the newest hip pronoun creation. Now, as they has risen yet again, I really want to know what Baron feels about they or them. Just play the clip.
I think lots of people that I know, who I would call linguists, are big. We're not supposed to advocate necessarily, but I think a lot of us are big supporters for this singular they, simply because it seems to be the pronoun of choice.
You are truly a linguist of the people, I guess. Or maybe that is the definition.
Right, right. Up the revolution.
What do you think the future of pronouns is going forward?
I think we're moving in the direction of they appearing more and more in the singular in more and more contexts. Whether it will replace all the conventional singular pronouns, probably not in the near term. Mm-hmm. You want to imagine a science fiction universe where, gender is either irrelevant or non-controversial and we don't have a reason to refer to it in the pronoun system. Mm-hmm. So, maybe that'll happen. We're not there right now. You got to remember, too, that the third person singulars are the only pronouns in our pronoun system that indicate gender.
Okay, that's a lot of grammar terms coming at you. Thanks, Dennis. But let's take a quick trip back to grammar school for a second. We have two basic kinds of pronouns, singular and plural. Each of those have three flavors, first, second, or third person. So for singular, first person would be I, second person would be you, and third person would be he, she, etc. And for plural, first person would be we, second person would be you, and third is they. You won't be tested on this, but like Baron said, third person singular, traditionally he or she, are the only pronouns that actually refer to gender at all. But I want to get back to that one idea of what happens when people mess up. Let's go back to Jack and see what they have to say.
The best way, in my experience, to, I guess, correct yourself is simply stop, take a moment. Maybe, depending on the environment, if you're right next to that person, maybe apologize. Be like, excuse me, I'm so sorry. And just repeat the sentence with the correct pronoun. You don't need to make a big deal out of it. I mean, you're just correcting yourself because you made a mistake and you need to own that mistake. I've had somebody misgender me and then cry in front of me about it. That was uncomfortable because it made it about them. It's supposed to be about me and my feelings. What about...
So yeah, like I said in my bio, mistakes are inevitable, but they're not the end of the world. Even here, at the world, when I've made sure that everyone knows my pronouns, people mess up all of the time. And I get it. Habits are hard to break. My point is that you should try a little bit harder, especially as I've already made it abundantly clear in my bio.
So, Paulus, have we gotten any better? Be honest.
It's a work in progress.
Oh, yeah.
I think I had to correct Mike just before we got in the studio.
Oh, really?
You know.
But this is a question, though, for you. It's a work in progress. Are you getting better or feeling more comfortable correcting people?
Yeah, I think people are thinking about it a little bit more. They're like, oh, wait. All of the time through my daily life, I'm gendering people, and maybe a lot of those assumptions are wrong. I think that makes me a little happy, that people are actually thinking about how often we just gender people without, you know, any real cause for it.
So to the outside world is one thing, right? Telling people your pronouns, you know, at work, in college. But what about your family? How have they reacted to your coming out as they, them?
I've had the conversation with my parents about my partner because they also use they, them. And my parents have been pretty good about it. I mean, they have to get over a little bit of the kind of awkwardness of the grammatical structure of it. They even, because they can't use boyfriend or girlfriend, I say partner, they've kind of resorted to saying your they friend, which I think is kind of cute.
That's pretty cute.
So I'm fine with it. My partner's fine with it. But I haven't exactly came out to my parents of my own pronouns, of my own gender identity. I think my mom kind of gets it because last time I was home, she bought me a dress.
Really?
It was a muumuu, actually.
Oh, God. Does she wear muumuus?
No. I don't know where she got this idea that the muumuu was, like, the dress for me.
Maybe if she is thinking non-gender conforming because a muumuu doesn't really show off much of anything.
Oh, no, it doesn't. I think the word that could best describe that dress on me is shapeless. And I put it on for her because, you know, your parent gets you a new piece of clothing. You got to put it on. I know I look kind of silly. She says, maybe this could be an inside the house dress.
Oh, that's really sweet. So yeah. She's thinking about it.
She's thinking about it.
Why haven't you just come out and told her?
Because I want people to make an effort. I don't want it to feel like I'm putting this on someone. I love it when people come to me and say, hey, what are your pronouns? It means that someone's actually thinking about it. I want someone to ask me my pronouns, and maybe my mom will hear this episode.
And then she'll ask you. Huh. Yeah. I mean, it strikes me that this is a very personal choice, but it also is a very political decision.
Yeah, it's a political decision. I want people to think about how they interact with gender and how they just assume a lot about a person just because of how they look. Honestly, like, I don't need the grocery bagger at the local Stop and Shop to ask me my pronouns. But at the same time, I just think there's so many times where we just bring up gender where we don't have to.
What do you mean?
Every customer service interaction I have is, thank you, sir. Have a nice day. We just don't have to bring up gender nearly as much as we do. I don't necessarily think people will say, hey, what are your pronouns on a regular basis? But it would be nice if people didn't just assume your gender for no reason.
Well, that's it for this edition of The World in Words. And actually, this coming year, we're going to be doing many more stories about gender and language. We've got a few more stories on the docket for this upcoming year. And hopefully, maybe we can have Paulus back on. Thanks, Paulus, for all of your work this summer. It's been great so far. You have a few more weeks, but we'll be sad to see you go.
Yeah, thanks, Nina.
You can find us on Twitter at LingoPod. Why don't, Paulus, what if people sent in their pronouns? Like,
that'd be great. Yeah, I want to hear our listeners' pronouns.
Yeah, tweet us your pronouns at LingoPod. Paulus, what's your Twitter handle?
That's PaulusVH. That's PaulusVH.
And I'm at Porzuki. That's PORZUCKI. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.